This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max, News Radio 830 WCCO. It doesn't seem like that long ago they arrived and they opened the Metrodome for the Minnesota Timberwolves to set a record for attendance in the NBA. And for those of us that covered it at that time, we remember the names fondly. That first team in the NBA coming back, Tyrone Corbin, Randy Brewer, Pooh Richardson, Tony Campbell, Sam Mitchell was a part of that team before he got into coaching. And so too was Scott Roth. And that was our first introduction to him. And as we go full circle, here he is back with the Timberwolves, coaching the Iowa team, Developmental League. And with a few miles put on his NBA and basketball career since then, he joins us now. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Glad to be with you. Those names brought some flashbacks.
Well, I guess, huh?
Yeah. Well, it's been a heck of a ride since then.
Who was Bill Musselman, the coach, to you?
Whew, you know, I have a long history with Bill, and I don't know how many people know, but actually, I grew up in Cleveland, and when Bill coached the Cavaliers, they actually moved into my town, and Eric became my point guard in high school. And so I knew the Musselmans all the way back in high school and had the rise to practice when they were practicing the Cavs and watching Bill practice as a young high school kid playing. And so I've known him all the way since then. And then to be coached by him in the CBA with Albany Patroons and then to have him in Minnesota. I mean, he's been obviously a huge impact in my career and being around him. And I've been fortunate to be around a lot of good coaches, and he was one of the best.
What was it like when you drive to practice with Eric and Bill was driving? Was he giving you advice? Was he what?
Well, you know, as a high school kid, you're just kind of shocked and all that you're actually...
Yeah, the Cavaliers coach, huh?
Yeah. So, you know, to be in the car with him going to practices was quite the experience. And then, you know, to hear some of the colorful language and everything else that went along with those rides. And, you know, with Bill, he only had one speed, and that was super fast. And
yeah.
So, you know, the moment you got in the car to go to practice, I don't know if he even stopped at stop signs or lights. and then to get there and the team that he had was quite a cast of characters with Magley and Bagley, the Magley-Bagley show he had, and Phil Robenzine and Scott Wedman, and he had a crew, Randy Smith. So Bill Ambeer was on that team. So it was quite an experience as a young kid, you know, dreaming of playing in the NBA, and then all of a sudden, during the summer, an NBA coach moves into your city, and then you become friends with the son, and that kind of, you know, inspired me more to even try to make it in the NBA.
What was he like in Albany as a CBA coach? He had a lot of success, obviously, in the CBA. He and Flip Saunders both, in fact, they ended up in kind of rivals, and it got a little heated there at one point in time. But what was it like to play for him there? Was it a lot different?
The intensity is just off the charts with him, and that team that we had in Albany is considered probably the greatest team ever in minor league sports. It's the winningest team in professional basketball history. Percentage-wise, it's in the Hall of Fame. You're talking about Tony Campbell, Rick Carlisle, myself, Sidney Lowe, Scott Brooks, Michael Ray Richardson, Michael Brooks, Todd Murphy.
That's half your team the first year at the Wolves.
Tony Campbell. I mean, it was just an incredible array of players. We didn't lose very much. I mean, I got called up by the NBA. Rick Carlisle was the first one to go in that season, then myself to Utah and signed a 2-year contract with them, and that kind of started my career. But to be on that team was really special, and to be with those players and then have the intensity of Bill coaching us. You know, at one point I think we were 19-1 or something along the way, and it was just an incredible experience. And like I said, Bill's a bundle of intensity. And I learned a great deal from him. I can actually remember Coach Thibodeau coming up and watching the practices as a young college coach.
So, what was Musselman's magic? What was his secret sauce? What was it that he taught you?
I think at the end of the day, you know, he was a very much a disciplinarian guy, but he had a great mind for offense. You know, we had over 100 plays which was unheard of at that time. And we had to know all of them inside and out. And I think the execution and the discipline to do that. And then just the intensity of playing hard and being prepared nightly to go play, you know, my first pro introduction to that type of regiment. You know, I played in Europe a year or two before and had great success there, but to come back to the States and try to get in the NBA, I wouldn't have got there without Bill Musselman.
And now you're back, and you've had some stops in between because you've been back as an assistant coach before, but tell us about the route that you've taken that's landed you here.
Well, it's been quite the journey since I've, you know, stopped playing. Obviously, I played for 11 years, and then I've been in the NBA for 20-plus years and 11 years as assistant coach on the bench. Most of my career has been with Don Nelson in Dallas and in Golden State. Some other stops in Detroit, Memphis, Vancouver, Toronto. So a lot of that background. I've coached four national teams, Turkey, China, Canada, and Dominican Republic. And so I've had a lot of international experience. And then this year, it was the first year I had not coached in quite a long time. There's just no jobs available. And they were kind enough to ask me to do the pro scouting for a year to get me through the year. And one of the most bizarre things ever in the history of the NBA is no one got fired at All-Star break or at the end of the season in 25 years. So
there were no jobs. Is that right? I didn't even realize that.
Yes, 25 years, the first time it's ever happened.
I'll be darned. I never even thought about that.
And so I did the pro scouting for them and got to meet Scott Layden, who I'd already known. He signed me my contract in Utah with his dad. And to be around Tibbs again in a limited role, you know, doing his scouting as he was coaching. And the summer just progressed. And when I heard actually in January that Mr. Taylor was going to buy that team, I put my name in. You know, it's no disgrace or anything to go coach in the D-League. I think some people have an ego that, you know, you're taking a step back. And for me, it was about coaching and getting better. And it was an opportunity. And that's how I saw it. And when I heard that Mr. Taylor was going to buy that team in January, I told him immediately that, you know, I had a great deal of interest. And this is one of those things. The summer progressed. And by the end of summer here, they came back around and we had a long conversation. I had a long interview and got the job.
What, Scott, when now this D-League team is different because the Timberwolves own it and you're only 4 hours away. How will this feel differently? Will we, with the new rules and whatnot, are we going to see more transactions, more going up and down?
Well, you know, now obviously the first thing is not the D-League anymore, it's the G-League.
Yes, so the G-League for Gatorade, you know? Yeah.
So that's the first change. I coached a long time ago in the D-League in Bakersfield when the teams weren't owned. I think at that time maybe two teams, the Lakers and Spurs, had their first owned teams. And so now there's 26 teams that are owned. So they're managed quite differently. You know, teams are obviously trying to create the synergy and represent their team. So when players are moved up and down, the systems are the same. And that's what we'll try to do here. There will be a lot of transition. The league is about flexibility and guys moving. And I'm sure that we're going to use it with guys coming up and down. And they've also added a few new rules this year to allow you to go out and actually sign some other players. So the league has definitely evolved over the last 10 or 15 years into something that's, I think, really, very beneficial for the NBA. And I think a lot of teams are having a lot of success using it. And this is the first year to, you know, go up there and lay the foundation and the culture for Coach Thibodeau and Scott Layden.
And now you're having tryouts as well. How much of your roster is handed to you? How much is it on Scott Roth to go find the players? What's the makeup like there?
Well, you know, it's kind of been very fluid here in the last couple of weeks because, you know, a lot of things have just gotten finalized. But we do have a tryout this weekend here. I don't have the exact times, but if you go to the website, it'll be there on Saturday. It's an open tryout. You pay $150, and basically you come in for 3 hours, and that's the way Jonathan Simmons from the Spurs made it. And it's one of the ways that the league uses around all the teams have the possibility of these tryouts to come in and have players be seen that maybe are under the radar or not known. So we'll have ours on Saturday here at the practice facility. And then everyone obviously is welcome to come try out. They just got to pay the $150 and 3 hours. And if we like you, we can bring you to camp. How we get our players is just basically, you know, we've basically inherited a team that has some returning players that were with the Memphis team and were with the Iowa Energy and going all the way back. So some of those guys will possibly be at camp. We've signed some players. during the summer, like an Anthony Brown to a two-way contract. And then you have, you know, your draft choices. And then from there, you can fill out the rest of your team through the G League draft and so on and so forth. So the process is still fluid. It's still in a position of where we don't really know who our team is right at this point. And we're probably in some ways a little bit behind just because of starting a little bit later with this team.
So how many spots are available, and what will be the caliber of the people that show up to try out? It will be like Division I players, NBA players?
Yeah, I mean, there could be, you know, anyone could walk in your building. You just don't know at that, you know, that caliber. But for sure, you're going to get a lot of Division I players that are in the area, hopefully, you know, from the Chicago area all the way up to here. They might venture up here to work out. I mean, former Gophers, players that have been around that want to try out. I mean, there's just a variety of different types of players that are out there that are welcome to come try out and test their skills. We're allowed to bring four to training camp. And if we like you, we can bring you to training camp, and then we'll see what happens from there. The roster consists of 12 players, and like I said, we're still very fluid in trying to fill that roster out. We're a long way from that being filled.
When you look at guys that are still left looking for NBA jobs, it's incredible right now. I mean, Trey Burke, Mike Dunleavy, names that have been really had some good years in the NBA. Will that trickle down at all, or are there rules about that?
You know, some of those ones, like maybe Mike Dunleavy might be a little bit older and won't venture that way, but there's some guys that, you know, when push comes to shove and there aren't any jobs and they don't want to choose to go to Europe, at that point they're going to either put their name into the G League draft and they'll be free to be drafted. We have the number one pick this year in the draft, so we're trying to obviously find a very good player that's either coming back from Europe or someone like a Trey Burke or somebody along the way that will put their name in there that can entice us to pick them at number one. So there's a lot of different ways, and there's a lot of different players, like you said, that are still feeling their way out to see how the rosters fill out. You know, obviously the season is going to start here shortly. There's going to be injuries, so there's always those players that are kind of just waiting for the opportune time to get picked up, and it's kind of, like I said, a fluid situation.
Interesting. You know, Scott, when you were talking about your career, it sounded like there's a book in there somewhere, but forgetting.
I got too many chapters for that.
Forgetting the position and what it paid or prestige or anything, what's the most fun you've ever had coaching?
Whew. Well, I think there's two or three things that jumped to mind. I think the first one was I was part of the national team with the Turkish national team in the European Championships in 2003, I believe, in Istanbul. And it was a six-week incredible experience of a whole country literally, you know, rising up and following this team for 6 weeks. And the momentum built to us getting all the way to the finals and losing to Serbia with Peja Stojaković and Vlade Divac, and just a tremendous outpouring of a country that I've never seen before. So that was one that's definitely memorable. And then, you know, to be with Don Nelson through his career, a quick story is, you know, we played Minnesota late in Golden State that season to get him his win to become the winningest coach in history. He happened to be here in Minnesota against the Timberwolves. It happened to be my scout game for Nelly.
Hmm.
I lived with him that season in his house.
Huh.
And then I got to go to the Hall of Fame with him a few months later when he got inducted. So to be around somebody like that for most of my career is truly a highlight.
He lives in Hawaii now or something, doesn't he?
Yeah, he has a couple properties in Hawaii. He's not hurting. You know,
he's not hurting.
The Maui Coffee, and he owns a watch company, and he's just enjoying life and doing what he loves to do, which is, you know, be himself. And, you know, he has his nightly poker games and he smokes his cigars and that's Nelly. But to be with him, especially early in his career, but then to be with him at the end of it and to see him break the record was really something special.
What was he about? What did you learn from him as a coach?
I mean, I think the biggest thing with Nelly was he's very creative, thinks outside the box, is not intimidated by the media or anything other than his beliefs. And he has a very good gut instinct. I think that separates really the great coaches from the guys that maybe are a little bit more manufactured. He just has a great gut instinct about things. Super creative offensively. Knows how to put the players in position to win. You know, in Dallas, we had Nowitzki and Nash and Finley, and to see him use those guys to the max, and put them in positions to succeed. And then, to see him in Golden State do what he did with Steph Curry his rookie year and bring him along. He just has a way with players and a way with, you know, putting in positions to succeed. And he's got that kind of personality that's kind of magnet that attracts people to him, and just a great guy.
Scott, appreciate it very much. I look forward to seeing you when you're. I'm sure you'll be up here at some point in time during camp or whatnot. But
I'm here right now. I just got here today. So I'm,
awesome.
I just got in town for good now, and I'm here for the rest of the way and going to training camp with them next week, and then eventually in the middle of October head up to Iowa.
Good. Well, I look forward to having you on again.
Fantastic. Appreciate it.
You bet. Scott Roth, now coaching at Iowa. The G League. Tyrone Carter is going to come up next. He's got three really interesting things to talk about. He played for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was there as a witness when this lady hit the police officer in his untimely death, and Tyrone was on the scene shortly thereafter. He'll fill in the blanks on that. That's just by chance. WCCO and Pop Communications invite you to help support victims of the Hurricane Harvey. Join us at the Children Matter Benefit Concert featuring Gene Simmons. Gene Simmons is going to be there, and Ace Frehley. Who's Ace Frehley? He used to play for Kiss, I think.
Yeah, he was. This will be the first time that the two have played together in almost a decade.
Okay, if I had kept reading, it would have said first time in 16 years together of Kiss. Then I went ahead to ask you the question, right, if I just kept reading. Don Felder of the Eagles, Cheap Trick, and others at CHS Field on Wednesday, September 20th. Get ticket information and help those children that need your help by going to the childrenmatter.ngo. 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 All proceeds benefit victims of Hurricane Harvey. Tyrone Carter, he Pompano Beach. I'll find out how he did down there with his family and much more. Stay with us on Sports to the Max.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Joining me now, Tyrone Carter, and I'm dying to talk to him because I got about eight things that I want to talk to him about, and I've only got limited time. Tyrone, how are you?
Hey, Mike Max.
What's up?
This is Coach Mason here. I'm Tyrone Carter's personal secretary now. He just hired me. I'm a retainer.
You know who called me out of the blue yesterday, Coach Mason?
Who's that?
Thomas Tepe.
And, oh, really? Another one of my favorites.
Yep, and he is being, and you should know this, I guess you probably won't be around that because you'll be on the road, but October 6th, he just got the call, he's being inducted into the St. Paul Johnson Hall of Fame.
Oh, man.
And I didn't realize how much it meant to him, and I also thought, are you kidding me? You're not in that yet? You know, he's the best football player to come out of there, but it obviously means an awful lot to him, you know?
You know, I tell everybody this, Mike, and I think you'd attest to it. You know, I had some great running backs during my tenure at Minnesota. But Thomas Tepe, if he wouldn't have had those two horrific Liz Frank injuries to his feet, he would have been better than any of them.
He had that much ability, didn't he?
Oh, for that, I mean, you know, for a guy that size and that strength, 245 pounds, when we first got him, the way he could run and cut, you know, he became a really dynamic, you know, fullback type guy, but he would have been a 245-pound tailback that had the same type of ability of a Marion Barber or Lawrence Maroney. Promise, I'm telling you.
But the blessing ended up being that he learned how to play fullback and he turned that into a career in the NFL, huh?
Well, yeah, but I'm just telling you, and really, you know, you talk to anybody who knows about those type of injuries, to come back from one Liz Frank injury as a running back is unheard of. To come back from two is just phenomenal.
Yeah, I remember he was like Big Ten Player of the Week when you guys won down in Baylor. I mean, and then, of course, along came Barber Maroney, and he had all kinds of running backs.
Yeah, well, I was very, very lucky and very fortunate to have those type of backs while I was here. And, you know, everybody still that was around then said, you know, no one ran the ball better than Minnesota. And a large part of that, we had some awful good offensive linemen, obviously, but it takes two. It takes offensive linemen and running backs, and we had them.
Oh, yeah, that was something. That was symphony in motion there. When you went into Michigan State that day and you blew them away at Michigan State, you'll remember it better than I remember it because I was there. But it was one of those no doubters, and I don't know that you threw more than 10 times the whole game.
Well, if we threw 10 times, that was 10 times too many with those guys, I can promise you. But I know you've got my man CC on here.
Yeah, before I let you go, you're going to be. Can you be with us on Sunday morning if we call you at 9:40?
You know, I can't because I'm at Penn State this week and I'll be in the air. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I got to ask, you know.
Yeah, but I'm going to just tell you something. I tell everybody this. Tyrone Carter, pound for pound, toughest guy that ever played for Minnesota. I'm telling you that.
How he did what he did with that size is beyond me.
Yeah, he's I'm going to Penn State this week.
Yeah.
And when I go there, they still, all those Penn State people that know, they still talk about number 22, Tyrone Carter. Says, back in 97 and 99, ruined their program. Tyrone Carter.
Was I pound for pound the best co-host you ever had?
Love your coach, man. I see you now. Once a week, we got to do this now. Hello?
What's up, PC? You guys, you throwing it around with Coach?
Oh, yeah, man. I call him Papa.
Papa?
Yeah, I call him Papa. My kids call him Papa. You know, I'm in Minnesota now for 4 years, and when I came to Minnesota, you know, I came to his house unannounced and showed up like I did today. Me and him playing today, though. We have a little cigar shop today. And I tell you one thing, that's one coach I know. When Minnesota was on the drought for 25 years, he changed our mindset of winning. So, now that I'm here, not a day go by that I don't talk to my coach.
That's cool, man. That's really cool. Hey, I got a bunch of things I want to run through with you because you've been involved in so many of them. Let's start with the Steelers. Vikings play there. Speaking of coaches, played for a couple good ones in Super Bowls there. What's it like to be a Pittsburgh Steeler, and what's it like to play there if you're a Minnesota Viking this week?
Hey, listen. When you're talking about Steelers and Minnesota,
yep,
it's like at the time, I want you to understand, at the time, I want your viewers to understand, at the time, it was like night and day. Night and day. Steelers organization was really about family and football. And they really showed that with the Rooney family. And I can't be thankful enough to be, I wasn't drafted to them. They wanted me. They selected me. They called me. Kevin Colbert, who is the GM. If you look him up, he still is the GM right now. And I went to Pittsburgh in 2004. After Minnesota put me on IR, and I took an injury settlement. So I love both of them. Because Minnesota gave me a chance. They helped me. They drafted me. They believed in me. And they gave me a chance to continue to see one of my goals become a reality. So I thank them for that. But when you talk about Pittsburgh, man, they taught me the game. They taught me the game. Meaning accountability, teamwork, and we together. We all after the same thing, and that's the world champ. And I'm 2-0 right now, and going to the Super Bowl and winning two. I'm undefeated.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yes, two sir. Rings, yeah. Hey, okay, so I got to fire through these things because there's so many things that you...
Go ahead. You got much time. You better go ahead.
Randy Moss, did you spend some time with him this weekend? And what was that like, him going to the Ring of Honor? What did it mean to him?
Oh, man. You already know. Randy is like my brother.
Yeah, you guys go fishing together. You're
like
buddies.
He is my brother.
Yeah.
We've been friends since 1998. And when he got inducted to the Ring of Honor, I couldn't miss that. His family, his kids, I was right there with him. I know for him, man, it was a blessing in itself. And to be there, to to celebrate with him. It was, you know, when you're a kid, you grow up and you always envision stuff happening. But now it's actually happening. Man, it was icing on the cake for him. He enjoyed every minute of it.
Did you guys catch some fish?
Yeah, we went fishing yesterday.
Okay.
You already know we're gonna catch fish, Steve. He needs some practice, cause he ain't beat me yet. he's from West Virginia and I'm from Florida, when I've been fishing since I was four. So since I was fishing since I was four, how would I let a cat from West Virginia that got as many lakes as we got?
Not gonna happen.
It ain't gonna happen.
All right, Pompano Beach in your hometown, did it get hit by the hurricane?
Oh, they got hit. They got hit pretty good. But one thing I can take away from that, we battle tested in Pompano.
Yep.
And we lost power. That's about the only thing we got. Some trees knocked down. No house has been destroyed. My family was good. Amen. And I like that. Everybody was good. But at the end of the day, they know we just going to rebuild. That's what Pompano is all about. No matter what you throw at us, we're going to take it, and we're going to rebuild it. That's it. So my family was good, and I was happy.
All right. You were there for this tragic incident. This lady hits a police officer and kills him, the funeral tomorrow. When did you come onto the scene, and what did you see, and what was it like?
I was right in front of the incident when it transpired. So if you're driving up a road, which is three lanes, and something happens, everybody's going to stop, hit brakes. I was behind it. And as I seen everybody hitting their brakes and doing all that, I looked over to my right. I seen a car, and I seen somebody on the ground. I didn't know who was on the ground, so I pulled over to the left. I know there were no police, nowhere around. So I pulled over to the right, and I ran over there and tried to help assist what happened. And when I got there, it was an officer on the ground. So immediately, everybody went to him. He wasn't breathing. He didn't have a pulse. Everybody was thinking, hey, man, we need to do CPR. It was a female there. I don't know her name. And Lord forbid, I didn't stay there long enough to get her name because we was working at the time. She did the CPR, and one elderly guy that was doing the chest pressing. And as they said, we got a pulse, I immediately, as that guy said, we got a pulse, I heard someone talking about, oh, come get me. Come get me. I did something wrong. And when I heard that, I turned my attention over to that young lady. And when I looked at her, I seen she was hysterical. She was going nuts then. I went over to her. As I got over to her, she immediately hugged me, Matt. She immediately hugged me and said, oh, I looked up, I see the guy in the road, and all of a sudden he was right there with me. And I'm like, listen, it's okay. He's coming. I done did something wrong. Is he okay? I said, he got a pulse, but he's good. Is you okay? And so I'm talking to her and trying to calm her down and let her know that, listen, that's calm down a little bit.
Yep.
And let everything, let nature run its course, and then we'll deal with it.
Yep.
So I took my attention to her, because I heard her just going off on somebody, and she was on the phone. That what made me go there. So once I comfort her, she got in her car, sat down, and she waited right there. It took about maybe, I would say, 10 to 15 minutes for the police. When they came, it was, I could have sworn the president were right there. How many police showed up?
Yeah.
Then.
That
I don't wish no one on this earth can experience.
Mm.
To see that.
Yep. And did you know that she was the one that hit him? And did you get any feel for her condition?
I didn't know she the one that hit him until I heard her say she was on the phone at the time as we was doing, as we were tending to the officer, and I heard her saying, "Y'all got to come get me. I done did something, and I don't know. It's hurtful." And she was saying all types of stuff. All I could see is somebody in distress. When somebody in distress, I try to defuse the situation. And that's what I did. And calm her down so she don't hurt herself. Make one tragedy be two tragedies.
Yep.
As you can see, if you've seen the video, she was going to walk herself in the road where the police hasn't got there yet. The road wasn't blocked. People's traffic still coming through.
Sure.
And I had to turn my attention to her because in any situation, everybody's going to need somebody to comfort them.
Yeah. And you have no idea what happened, so.
No. I didn't see her hit the police officers. But as I'm driving behind, when you see cars moving and stopping, and then as I get right there, I'm probably about maybe 2-3 minutes behind.
Yep.
And I get there, it was fresh. So my first initial that went straight to the officer, but once everybody, he got a pulse, and I heard her talking. In my mind, I was like, dang, that might be the one that maybe hit her.
Yeah.
Let me go check her out.
Yep.
So I went to check her out and calm her down.
Tyrone, did you know when the police officer arrived that you had lost the officer? Did you know yet? Or did you think that he had a chance, that there was a pulse and he had a chance? What did you know at that time?
When I first got there, man, he was sitting there. When I looked at his body and his leg, I was like, man, this guy gone. He wasn't responding. He wasn't doing nothing. And then I looked down. You could see the blood running from the back of his head. It tore me up, man. Mm. It tore me up. Mm. So immediately, I went straight.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, buddy? I went straight to him. I went straight to him. And as they got him ready, and they said, "We got a fault," that's what enabled me to hear the lady talking. And I turned my attention to her.
Okay. Wow.
They're trying to call her at that time. I didn't know who did what.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, Max, it was a tough sight to see, man.
Just tragic.
Especially what was going on.
Just tragic,
today.
Huh?
It was tragic, man.
Did you have any of your kids with you at the time? I hope not.
No, I was by myself.
Okay,
I'm glad
good.
I did.
Yeah, good. I'm at least glad for that, Tyrone. Hey, Tyrone, we're out of time, but we'll do it again soon. There are just too many topics we had to talk about there in a short time, but thanks for giving us some time. Tell Coach Mason thanks, too.
I tell, hey, y'all talk to him. That's the man, I told you. 25 years we was on it. They're talking about culture shock, but he changed the culture. And we've been friends ever since.
Yeah.
My kids, right now I call him Papa.
Yeah.
And I'm still got a relationship with him. And I graduated from the U of M in 99.
Yeah.
And here it is, 2017, and that's my coach.
I go over his house.
We have our time still, right now today. He loved his players, man.
No cigars, though, right?
Yeah, we have cigars. So I had two of his cigars today, and I got some in my truck right now.
He better have some of those from Cuba by now.
Oh, I had one Cuban.
Okay.
You know that. You know he's going to give me a Cuban because I'm from Florida and Cuba.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. Hey, buddy, it's good to talk to you. We'll talk soon.
All right, Max. Take care, man. Thanks for having me.
You bet. TC on WCCO. Al Malmberg with a preview of his show when we come back. Stay with us. The Maplewood Toyota time is 8:53. Welcome back. I missed my conversation with Al Malmberg last night. We were on a remote. Now I come a little bit short because we had to guess it. It's such a good story to tell. They're coming out. Al, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Where the heck were you last night?
We were at they kicked off the hockey season with a bunch of players from the Minnesota Wild and Kyle Rudolph from Minnesota Vikings. So we had access to them as our guests throughout. So it worked out real easy and real fun.
Fun. And then last Friday we had the high school rally.
The football rally.
And so you weren't there either. And
we had the Vikings in Denver playing back to back. Are you satisfied with the Broncos?
Yeah. They look great in the first half, but, to give up two touchdowns within 90 seconds, that was tough. The Vikings, I thought, looked fabulous. Sam Bradford, he looked great.
Yep.
And the offensive line that had played for the first time together as a unit, I thought they'd played well together and could only get better. I think there's some hope there.
Yeah, for sure. That's all we want is hope in these parts.
Yeah.
You know that,
yeah.
Al.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What's coming up on the show tonight?
You know, do you ever go to garage sales or flea markets and that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Looking for bargains?
Yeah.
We're gonna tell you about people who got great buys on things that turned out to be worth a boatload of money. And it's gonna be fun.
Really?
Yeah. It's everybody's dream.
So that print that I got that says Picasso, does that mean anything to you?
The one that you paid $2.50 for?
Yeah, I was in a Bloomington Thursday garage sale.
Yeah, it's worth $1.75.
Thanks, Al. Good to visit with you. Al Malmberg coming up next. Bargains and more on News Radio 830 WCCO.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.